morning I want us to begin looking at the subject of Bible prophecy, and maybe for the next four Sundays, including today, we'll look at the subject of Bible prophecy. It's a subject that is very much of interest, very much in the news, as all of you know. If you've heard if you were following the news events of the recent Israeli-Lebanon conflict, I'm sure you heard that many people were speculating, is this Armageddon? Because it was in that part of the Israel nation where Armageddon is found. And so many people are asking, what does the Bible say about how and when the world will end? Well, I can't answer those questions, of course, this morning. I don't know that the Bible necessarily has, I said that God's prophetic word has answers to these and other questions. I'm not sure that it has questions to all, or answers to all of the questions that we might ask. But there are certainly things here that God wants us to know about. God wants us to know what's going to happen, to wrap things up in the end. Now, there are people who say, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and there's nothing we can do to change it. But I would say we can do something. It will motivate us to be the Christians that we ought to be. It will make us have more of an upward look in our lives. Now, we won't just walk around looking up in the sky, but we will be aware that He could be coming, that Jesus could be coming at any time. Well, there are three qualities of the prophetic word that I see here in 2 Peter, if we'll look at the passage there that Brother Curtis read, beginning with verse 19. I want us to see three qualities of that prophetic word. And the first quality that I see, and I'm going to read just that one verse there. In verse 19 it says, We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to it as unto a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arise in your hearts. Now that statement or that verse is a little bit perplexing perhaps, but all it's talking about is the word that had been revealed through Jesus Christ. He is the living word, and He came to fulfill the scriptures, not only in the sense that He came to fulfill prophecy, which He did, but also He came to fill it full, if you will, to complete it. And if you'll look at the last book in the Bible, you'll see that if you have a red letter version, you'll see that Jesus speaks right at the end of the Bible. He said, I come. And there's an invitation to all who are thirsty to receive Him as Savior. Well, there's illumination here in prophecy, because it is a sure word, and God's word never fails. When Peter said that, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. I think it was because, well, certainly it was because God inspired him to write it. These are God's words as well. But also because Peter had that conviction in his heart, because he had lived with Jesus. He saw Jesus die on the cross. He stood on that Mount of Olives when Jesus ascended back to heaven, and he heard the angels say, this same Jesus shall so return as you have seen him go into heaven. So he was convinced that the word of God was true. And you cannot understand prophecy unless you'll come to this book reverently. Now, I'm not saying that you need to close your mind, that you need to ignore what are obvious contradictions, because, frankly, I don't think there are any contradictions. But there are people who think that there are things in the Bible that they don't understand, and so they think, well, I just can't blindly accept what is not really verifiable. Well, there are a lot of things that we accept that are not verifiable. I don't understand the air. I breathe, but I like it, and I thank God for it. I thank God that I'm able to breathe it, especially up here in Alturas, not in L.A.
Amen.
Yeah, I know you were down there, weren't you, just recently?
Fairfield.
Yeah. Any place down in the valley there, the air is not as good as here in Alturas, so we're thankful for that. But we have a sure word, don't we? This is God says in His word, that says that His word is perfect. And in 2 Timothy 3:16 it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But we also have a shining light here. Did you notice that it said in verse 19, we have a light shining in a dark place. Again, the prophetic word shines. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, says Psalm 119:105. It wouldn't be wise to go out on a moonless night around here without a flashlight or without lights in your car. But how many people neglect the light that God has given us in this word? Even Christian people. who say, oh, it's not important. There are other things that are more important. But God wants us to know. The book of Revelation promises a blessing to those who study the book of Revelation. But I believe it applies to the Bible as well. Blessed are those who read, and they who understand the words of this prophecy. So here we have a shining light. Here we also have a star rising. It says there, doesn't it? Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Now what is the morning star? Does anybody know? Okay, it is Jesus, but isn't that another name for the sun? I believe the sun is a star, is it not?
Yeah.
And that morning star is the sun rising. Speaking, of course, of Jesus. He's the sun of our soul. And if you will come to Him and His Word, if you will accept Him as your Savior, if you haven't already, and if you will come reverently to His Word with a prayer, open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. He will begin to rise in your heart. Jesus will begin to be worshipped and glorified in your life as never before. So here we have illumination in the prophetic word. But we also have interpretation. Now, I'm not suggesting the Bible is interpretation, but that we need interpretation to study prophecy. We need the tools of interpretation that God gives. Number one, it's wisdom. God gives wisdom, doesn't He? Isn't that what the Bible said? In the book of Proverbs, it's full of verses that tell us that if we want wisdom, come to God, come to His Word. The book of Proverbs says there's a way that seems right but leads to death. And the Bible wants to warn us about the many doctrines that are not built upon the Word of God. I think it could almost be said that almost every one of the cults, if not everyone, is based on some distortion of Bible prophecy. And so God wants to give us wisdom. If we will come to His Word, He has promised to make us wise. First of all, wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then wise to interpret His Word correctly. Now, you don't need a degree to study prophecy. You don't need a college education even. I suppose you don't even need to read if you can listen. Then God, if you will listen to God's Word, He will give you that wisdom that you need to interpret His Word. But certainly there's the Word. And we're looking at verse 20. It says, above all, you must understand. The Greek word there is the word gnosis. You may have heard that. Gnostic was a sect back in the early centuries that claimed to have a knowledge of God and of Jesus that was not in the Bible. But there is a knowledge that God wants to give us, a wisdom, if you will. And that's found in His Word. No prophecy of Scripture, it says, came about by the prophet's own interpretation. So there's the Word again. God wants to impress upon us the importance of the Word. We cannot understand what God wants us to understand without reading His Word. I want to challenge you to have a Bible reading program. There are many fine programs. I suppose there are a zillion of them. Maybe not that many, but close. There are Bibles that are organized according to daily readings. If you use a computer, you can go to a website. I'm going to put it on our website, link it to our website, where you can read the Scripture and hear it narrated at the same time. So we need to get the Word into our lives. And then there's a wonder that we must have to interpret it correctly. Here it says that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. That means, I think, that, let's say, for example, Joel in the Old Testament decided he wanted to write a book of Scripture. And so he thought, well, you know, I think I'll write about the locust plague and how that ties in with the last days. I don't think that's how it happened. It says here that it didn't come by their own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, it said, but by the will of God. Men spoke by God, from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible even says that sometimes they didn't even understand the things that they wrote about. I'm not sure that David understood when he wrote Psalm 22 that it was a picture of Calvary. But it is, very clearly, fulfilled in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a wonder that we must have in order to interpret prophecy. But there's another word here, another quality, if you will, of the prophetic word, and that's inspiration. Inspiration. Now that's what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. When it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I think we've corrupted that word. We talk about inspiration when a light bulb goes off in our head and we decide to go out and work on the car. We're inspired to write a paragraph and send it off to the paper. Or to write a poem. Now we're getting closer there with a poem. I think poetry is somewhat inspired by us, by the human nature that God has put in us. But the word inspiration simply means, actually the Greek word means breathe out. And it applies to the product or to the producing of the Word of God. That God breathed it out. Now isn't that what we do when we speak? Can anybody talk by breathing in? I've known a few people that I thought could circular breathe while they're talking because they seem to have that gift of being able to talk without breathing. But most people have to breathe out, don't they? So it speaks again of the Word of God and how every word is the product of His outbreathing. And in order for us to understand prophecy, unless we come to this book reverently, understanding that this is God's Word, it's not the Word of a man. Now I know sometimes we might read something and think, oh, that can't be true. Well, that must have been Paul's opinion, and that can't be the Word of God. But I think when we do that, we limit God from speaking to us through His Word. And I think most people who do things like that do not understand prophecy and never will understand prophecy unless they come to the Bible and realize that it is the inspired Word of God. So that's what it is. What it is not. Well, it says here prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. So here that is, that idea is again that Paul sat down and he said, well, I'm going to write me a book of Scripture. And I'm going to put these things in. I'm going to make an outline and I'm going to follow that outline. This is what I think people need to hear. No, that's not how it happened. Peter said even those words of Paul were Scripture. So if Peter, who didn't always agree with Paul, I think he agreed with Paul more than Paul did sometimes with him. More with Peter's life. Sometimes Peter was still living as a Jew among Gentiles. And he carried that over his discriminatory thoughts. But that's not how it happened. Paul didn't just decide he was going to write Scripture or that he was going to write something spiritual or write something that he thought people needed to hear. But God did it. Men spoke from God, it says, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And what that does is it transforms our lives. Just look at Peter. Now here's an example of a man who is... I don't know that Peter was stupid, but sometimes he did stupid things. Anybody here ever do a stupid thing? I have to do so as well. I've even put my Bible on top of the car and drove off. I did that one time. I think just once. That was a stupid thing. I think I shared one time I left my boys out in a snowdrift in Illinois. Thought I'd teach them a lesson, but when I came back, they were gone. And that was a stupid thing. But Peter became what we know him as, the Apostle Peter, the leader of the first century church, and a great spokesman for Christ and for His church, a great witness. Tradition says that he was crucified, not as our Lord was crucified, but head downward. Well, that may sound like stupidity, but it wasn't. He knew that there was another life, and that one day Jesus would be true to His Word. And like the angel said, this same Jesus whom you have saw go into heaven shall so, whom you have seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. And he knew that one day he was going to be in the presence of Christ who died for him on the cross and that he would be forever with the Lord. And so now his heart and his zeal was to tell others about Jesus. And it was because of the prophetic word. This is the prophetic word, isn't it? Now there are, I understand, more verses that pertain to prophecy in this book than perhaps any other doctrine in the Bible. And so if we neglect those parts of the Bible, we've neglected His Word. And we don't want to do that. And I'm sure you don't want to do that. So I want to challenge you to study the Bible, to study prophecy, because rightly understood, and if you will come as these verses suggest, reverently, realizing that it is the Word of God, that it is His inspired Word. Come seeking wisdom from His Word. He will give you wisdom. And more than that, He will change your life. And you'll have a zeal for witnessing for Christ. You want to bring others before His throne.